Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be starting a new series, let's call it. A series where over the next several weeks, maybe even several months, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. The big question is, why so much confusion when it comes to spiritual gifts? Why so many controversies when it comes to spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are gifts given by God to believers to serve the body of Christ and to bring glory to Christ. It's that simple. And in case you didn't write that down fast enough, don't worry, I'll go through it more slowly in a second. But why is there so much confusion? Why are there so many controversies? In fact, this topic of spiritual gifts has been known to create all kinds of dissension, division in the church. In fact, this confusion and this controversy regarding spiritual gifts has actually caused some churches to not only divide, but also shut down. So we want to go through this topic, this hot topic, very slowly. We want to be very, obviously, biblical. And let's make sure that we understand what God has to say about spiritual gifts so that we're not confused, so that we don't get caught up in all kinds of controversies, and so that we are not part of disunity and division in the church. Make sense? So that's why I said it might go a little further than just a little longer than just a couple weeks. But our main section, if you're taking note, is we're going to be taking a look, kind of like our main, like foundational text or texts, is going to be found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. And the reason why I chose these chapters is because that the same thing was happening in that church back then in Corinth that happens in many churches today. There was a ton of confusion, there were all kinds of controversies, and there was a lot of division in that church in Corinth. And so what we want to do is we want to see how the Apostle Paul, in the power of the Spirit, addressed this topic of spiritual gifts. And again, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, premier passages when it comes to the definition of spiritual gifts, the purpose of spiritual gifts, the proper use of them, and the warning about the misuse of them. That's why these chapters will be our major foundational text over the next foreseeable future. But if you're taking note, let me give you a couple other texts in the New Testament that have to deal with spiritual gifts, and we'll be going back and forth to them. You obviously know the one here in 1 Corinthians. Another one is Romans chapter 12. Another one is Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. So a real simple way to remember, four premier texts in the New Testament regarding spiritual gifts. The first two have to deal with the number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. The last two have to deal with the number 4, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Make sense? Good. All right. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's see how Paul opens this section about spiritual gifts. And starting in verse 1, when he says to the Corinthians, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," by the way, he often in this letter, this is a letter where Paul has to continually rebuke the Corinthians. In this letter, Paul will often try to kind of soften them up a little bit by calling them brethren before he then brings the hammer. Now, in that church, even though, you know, you read this letter, you go, whoa, were these people even saved in that church? Yes, many of them were. In fact, just real quick, let me just confirm that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul starts out this letter. In verse 2, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart in Christ Jesus, and therefore they are saints, holy ones by calling. So these people here, not everybody in that church back then, but many of them in that church, Paul says, he called them, they were saved. In fact, we know that they had also been gifted with spiritual gifts. Paul says to them, verse 5, that in everything you've been enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge. Verse 7, so that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that many people in that church in Corinth, by the way, Paul had planted that church during his second missionary journey. Corinth, down south, southern part of Greece in the region of Achaia, very, very, very pagan place, very promiscuous place. A lot of commerce was happening there, people going in and out of Corinth, and all kinds of crazy things were happening. In fact, a term was coined to describe the debauchery, the immorality in Corinth. That term was to Corinthianize. People understood what that meant, right? And so during Paul's second missionary journey, by God's grace, he ministered there 18 months. He preached the gospel. God in his grace saved people, his elect there. A church was planted. And again, the apostle Paul ministered there for 18 months. But then he left. Another great preacher came in, a man by the name of Apollos. I mean, this church had every advantage. But this church also opened the doors to the pagan Corinthian culture, Corinthian philosophy, Greek philosophy, certain pagan idolatrous worship practices. And so when Paul got word about what was happening in that church, he wrote this letter. He actually wrote four letters to them, which tells you how many problems he had to deal with. Two of those letters we have in our Bible, two we don't. And so back to our text in 1 Corinthians 12, after addressing all kinds of issues in this letter, Paul finally comes to the topic of spiritual gifts. And again, many of the people in that church were truly saved. They had been given spiritual gifts. The problem? They were very confused as to the proper use of spiritual gifts. It created a lot of controversies in that church, and it led to division in that church. So Paul starts out in chapter 12 saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, kind of softening them up a little bit. He says, I don't want you to be unaware about spiritual gifts, about their importance. And then in verses 2 and 3, Paul says, you know that when you were pagans, again, which gives you the idea that they now were saved. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Makes sense. They were worshiping idols as pagans before they had been saved. And then Paul says in verse 3 to them, therefore, now that you're saved, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, in other words, no one who has truly been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, no one who has truly been gifted with spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit, Paul says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed. Jesus is anathema. Come on. Well, why would Paul say this? Well, it seems that there were some people in that church in Corinth, professing believers, who felt that they were impressing everybody because of their incredible emotional, ecstatic, gibberish speech where they said that they were being so filled with the Holy Spirit that they couldn't help but just say, Jesus is what? Accursed. Yeah. Obviously, these people had allowed many of the pagan idolatrous practices that were happening there in Corinth and throughout Greece and even Rome. They allowed those practices to come into the church. Those practices, which included just, you know, all kinds of emotionalism, where they would work themselves up in a frenzy to the point that they would just start blurting out all kinds of ecstatic gibberish. They had suspended their minds and they were just following their emotions to the point that it seems that there were some in that church in Corinth who actually were screaming out, Jesus is accursed. And they were saying, yeah, this is from the Holy Spirit. I've got spiritual gifts. What? Paul says, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant about spiritual gifts. They're very important. And then he says, let me just tell you something right now. There's absolutely no way that a truly regenerated person, a truly saved person who's been indwelt by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit, Paul says, there's absolutely no way that person is going to say, Jesus is anathema, right? Because again, you could just write this down, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, Jesus made it clear. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, by the way, Jesus said, he will glorify me. He will magnify me, the true Jesus. And do you actually think that the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity, would ever lead somebody to say Jesus is accursed? Not a chance. That's the point Paul was making here. There were some in that church who used to be involved in all kinds of idolatrous practices. They were involved in the, quote, worship, unquote, of idols, where, again, they would get drunk, they would take mind-numbing drugs, they would get caught up in all kinds of emotional, like, frenzy and just start screaming and yelling all kinds of ecstatic gibberish without even thinking about the content of what they were saying. Paul says, that's what you did when you were pagans. He says, let me tell you something right now. No way can anybody do that who is truly speaking by the Spirit of God, right? And then he goes on to say, in like manner, no one can say or truly say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, who first has to regenerate a person, give that person the gift of faith so that they can truly then recognize that they are wretched sinners. They can truly then repent of their sins and truly place their faith and trust in Christ alone, truly declaring in the power of the Spirit, Jesus is Lord. Make sense? And so we see right at the beginning of chapter 12, Paul says to them, listen, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be confused. What was he saying? There's a lot of confusion going on in that church there. He says, brethren, there's no way a truly born-again believer who's been given spiritual gifts would ever say Jesus is accursed. Would we agree with that? In like manner, he says that a person cannot truly declare Jesus is Lord until he or she is first regenerated by the Holy Spirit, right? And what was happening in that church, there was, like I said, there was all kinds of division happening. There were some who claimed to have all these super special showy gifts, and they were exalting themselves. Some were running around, Jesus is accursed. Look how the Holy Spirit is moving me. There were others going, what in the world is happening here? Paul, can you help us on this? Right? Paul had to address that in his letter. And there was division in the church. Ready? Because of spiritual gifts? Well, Paul goes on to say in verses 4 through 6, there should be no division. Why? There are a variety of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects or outworkings, results, as you use your spiritual gifts, But the same God who brings about those results, who works all things in all persons. By the way, you notice the Trinity here? Again, verse 4, varieties of gifts, same Spirit, third member of the Trinity. Verse 5, varieties of ministries, same Lord, second member of the Trinity. Verse 6, varieties of effects, but the same God, God the Father. And so Paul's making the point here to say, wait a second, you guys, because of your confusion, you're creating controversies and division because of spiritual gifts. Brother, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. First off, just no way does a true born-again believer declare Jesus accursed, just like no one can truly declare that Jesus is the Lord unless he's born again. And then he goes on to say, by the way, division because of spiritual gifts. He said, are you kidding me? One God, one Lord, one Spirit. Yes, there are varieties of gifts. Yes, there are varieties of ministries where you use your gifts. Yes, there are varieties of results or outworkings. But there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see what Paul's saying there? How can there be division based on spiritual gifts? Unless, of course, they were confused and uninformed. And that's why Paul's going to spend chapters 12, 13, and 14 informing them, instructing them. And I think that you see many of the same problems today in many modern churches. Confusion, ignorance about gifts, people rolling around on the ground, all kinds of enthusiastic outbursts, ecstatic gibberish. Who knows what they're saying? They don't even know what they're saying. And so we need to understand what Scripture says about spiritual gifts, right? And so today, I'm going to conclude in a few minutes. I just want to answer a couple questions. If you want to write this down, number one, what are spiritual gifts? Number two, who gets spiritual gifts? Number three, how do we get them? And number four, why do we have them? What's the purpose of them? Okay. So number one, what are spiritual gifts? Again, we know that they are divine enablements given by God. To whom? Let's answer the second question. To believers and believers only. How do we know that? Verse 7. To each one, each believer, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In like manner, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing what? Spiritual gifts to each one individually, each believer. So we know that spiritual gifts are divine enablements. They are not natural talents, okay? Before God had saved me, I had some natural talents when it came to sports, okay? Those were natural talents. Now, some people who saw me play would question if I even had any talent. But my mother says I had some talent, okay? That's all that matters. So that was a natural talent. But when God saved me, he gave me the gift of salvation, and in like manner, he gave me spiritual gifts, or better yet, a spiritual gift, which is a unique combination of various or varieties of gifts that the Holy Spirit has specially designed for me and me only, making me, as John MacArthur likes to say, and Dr. Steve Lawson likes to say, making me a spiritual snowflake. You know how they say there are no two snowflakes alike? In the same manner. There are no two believers gifted exactly alike. So let's answer the first two questions. What are spiritual gifts? Who gets them? We know who gets them. Every born-again believer, right? To each one is given, right? When you're saved, when the Holy Spirit regenerates you, again, he also gives you, he gives you a unique combination of gifts, making you a spiritual snowflake. You receive divine enablements to be able to serve Christ, to be able to serve the body of Christ, to be able to make an eternal impact in the lives of people. Spiritual gifts are divine enablements. Again, you, Christian, are a spiritual snowflake. Nobody is gifted exactly the way you are, which means if you don't use your gifts to serve, guess what? The body's going to be hurting because nobody is gifted exactly like you are. And again, divine enablements are given only to born-again believers. By the way, born-again believers who would never say Jesus is accursed, right? divine enablements are given to born-again believers. Again, they are not natural talents, right? They are divine enablements, a unique combination of gifts specially designed for each individual believer. So we know what spiritual gifts are. We know who receives spiritual gifts. The next question is, how do you get them? Many churches today teach that you need to pray, and just keep asking God by faith to give you certain gifts, and that eventually God hopefully will do that. Is that how you get spiritual gifts? Look at me. No, not at all. In fact, let's just look again, verse 7. To each one, each believer is what? Given the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, Andrew, but that could be that you just keep praying, and eventually God gives in and gives you the gifts you're asking for, right? No, go down to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Here it is. Distributing to each one individually, finish the verse, just as he wills. Just like Christian, you didn't choose your salvation. Your salvation is the sovereign work of God. In like manner, your spiritual gifts are also a sovereign work, a sovereign gift from God. Hop over to verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And then over in verse 28, and God has appointed people in the church, gifted them in the church for various different things. And so we know what spiritual gifts are, divine enablements. We know who gets them, every born-again believer, and we know how we get them. The Holy Spirit distributes them just as he wills. So, gift of teaching. I didn't look for that gift. Didn't ask for that gift. I eventually slowly discovered that I had been gifted to teach. Well, if you're being blessed by learning something today, by me using my gift, who gets the credit? Me, the teacher, the human teacher, or the one who gave me this unique combination of gifts? I can't take the credit. I can't boast and brag. I need to be grateful, right? Just like I'm grateful for the gift of salvation. I know I did nothing to earn that or deserve it. In like manner, I'm grateful for spiritual gifts. I did nothing to earn them or deserve them. My gifts have been distributed to me, just as God has willed, right? So we know what gifts are. We know who gets them. Every believer has them. So there's no excuse to not use your gifts. And we know how you receive them. And then number four, why do we have them? What's the purpose of our gifts? Look at verse 7. To each one, each believer, is given, according to God's sovereign will, the manifestation of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. Why? Finish the verse. So that you can edify yourself? No. Christian, you have been given a unique combination of spiritual gifts according to God's sovereign will. And the reason why you've been given those gifts is to bless the body of Christ. You are to use them for the common good, not for self-edification. Nowhere does Scripture allow for that. You have been gifted by God. You've been uniquely and specially gifted by God. Why? To bless others, to build up others, and thus bring glory to God. And oh, by the way, as you use your spiritual gifts according to God's purpose as to why he gave them to you, you know what's going to end up happening? You'll be blessed, right? You'll be blessed. So we already see, starting out here in 1 Corinthians 12, how there were some in that church who were showing off, who were spouting off, and who were trying to make a spectacular statement. Look how the Holy Spirit's moving in me. Look how I can just get so Spirit-filled. That I'm such a spiritual superstar that suddenly I just start breaking out in this ecstatic speech because I'm just so Spirit-filled. And look what comes out. Jesus is accursed. What? No. Not a chance, right? God has graciously gifted his body, just like he gifted those there in Corinth. God has perfectly placed the members in the body. God has perfectly gifted the members in the body to use their gifts for the common good, the building up of and the blessing of the body, and the bringing glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There should be no confusion about this. And there should be no controversies based on this, right? That's just, Paul says, again, verses 4 through 6, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So, Christian, let me ask you a question. Do you now understand the purpose as to why you've been given spiritual gifts? For the common good? Good. How have you been doing on that as of late? Have you truly been using your gifts to bless the body of Christ and bring glory to Christ? That's why you have those gifts. If you're not using them, the body suffers. So, as we continue through this series on spiritual gifts, I'm going to continually challenge you. Now that you know what spiritual gifts are, who gets them, how you get them, and why you have them, I'm going to challenge you. Are you using them? And by the way, think of the price that was paid. Not only to give you the gift of salvation, but also to bring you into God's family, to now be gifted for the common good. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.